hospitality is a lot of fun. I get a kick out of serving people. And if you think of new and different ways to serve people and your employees are successful in the businesses, that's the real fun part of it.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. In 1975, the Meralt family moved from Kansas City to Missoula, Montana, taking over a bankrupt four-lane truck stop on the outskirts of town. Walt Meralt, just 9 years old at the time, began his business career by mowing the weed patches outside the family's startup. 27 years later, in 2002, Walt took over the reins of the operation from his father with energy, determination, and an optimistic entrepreneurial spirit. Since then, he has expanded the original family business, adding restaurants, a casino, a hotel, a truck repair station, and even a beer ice cave. Today on Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, Walt Meralt reflects on the trajectory of his business growth, the challenges of competing against national chains with huge marketing budgets, and the need for family-run businesses in small-town America. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Walt, it's good to see you and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Arnie.
Tell me about the origins of the company and what it was like when you were a nine-year-old boy and you started to work in the family business.
You know, I have very fond and vivid and kind of difficult memories. Not difficult, but just those great core value memories of when we moved to Montana from Kansas City. My dad worked for Amoco Oil for quite a few years, and we were set to move to Chicago, and my parents were both small-town North Dakota people, so wanted to start our own business, and my dad grew up in the grocery store business in a small town in North Dakota. So, I vividly remember when we first moved here. It was the summer of 1975, and furniture wasn't up in the house yet. I was sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag, and about 4:30 in the morning, I feel a nudge of a foot in my rib saying, get up, we got to go. And it was my dad saying, we got to go out to the truck stop, and you're going to do some work and go pull some weeds and pick up trash and, you know, do that kind of thing. I'm sure I was grumbling back then, and we drove out in this old pickup truck where it was kind of like Fred Flintstones. You could see the floor going by because it was rusted out, and it was rickety, and there was a pile of chains and oil and rags in the bottom of it, and driving out to the truck stop. And it seemed so far, the drive, I'd take a little nap on the way, and then I'd go do my business. And that's, you know, those core things, I think, set forth a work ethic and an appreciation of what it's grown to be.
The truck plaza is now at the intersection of an interstate and a major road that goes up north into Glacier National Park and that surrounding area. What was it like back in 1975 out there?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot. There was our truck stop. There was another truck stop across the road. We were Amoco Oil back then, and there was a truck stop across the road, Texaco. And there was, I believe, just one truck dealer, Peterbilt truck dealer out there. And there was a couple other trucking companies, but most of it was a bunch of fields all around us. Highway 93 was just a two-lane highway. It was still a busy interchange, but wasn't near the traffic it is now. And back then, it was all full service. We did full service on semi-trucks and cars, so the business looked quite a bit different. One of my other fond memories is we had, you know, you didn't have the big coolers like you have now. We had a Pepsi machine out front. We had a Coke machine out front. We had an ice cream bar machine out front. And it was the family ritual to dump those things on Thursdays. And we'd get A&W root beer and sandwiches. And all the kids and parents would roll the quarters from the machines back then. So it was quite a bit different than it is now.
Could you imagine 45 years ago almost that all these years later, you'd still be in the family business?
Yeah, never really stopped and thought about it. You know, I went out, graduated from the University of Montana and moved to Northern California, worked in advertising. And one fateful day, my dad called and says, I think I'm getting tired. I think I want to sell. And I'd only been gone 3 years or so, and we had kind of an agreement I'd be gone 5 years. I mean, I'd go do something for 5 years. But the truth is, probably if I'd have been gone 5 years, I wouldn't have come back. And Missoula, Montana is a pretty awesome place. Western Montana is a pretty amazing place to live and raise a family. So I begrudgingly came back to work in the family business. But, you know, you just don't stop and think about it. You just keep solving every day's problem and the next week's problem, and all of a sudden it's 45 years later. Yeah.
So if you didn't come back, if it lasted for 5 years, what do you think you would have done? Would you have stayed in advertising?
Yeah, probably. I really enjoyed advertising, marketing, and I loved living in near a big city and that.
So you came back, and then in 2002, you took over the operation from your father. Did you have plans at that point to build the business or just to maintain the status quo? Or what were you thinking at that point when the reins were turned over to you?
Well, and I moved back in 92, so it was about 10 years later that he fully retired is what that 2002 date is. Oh, I know I'd started developing my own visions. We'd already executed some of the visions, the real estate we have and other visions of other hospitality-type businesses, because hospitality is a lot of fun. I get a kick out of serving people. And if you think of new and different ways to serve people and your employees are successful in the businesses, that's the real fun part of it. So I'm always thinking, I'm always seeing other ideas and toy with doing other things.
So the family of businesses now, what does it consist of?
So out at the Travel Plaza, there's a Days Inn Hotel. We have a Y West Casino and Lounge, which we do off sale and a little gaming and have a bar. And we have a truck repair center. We work primarily on semi-trucks. We have a Wheat Montana Bakery Deli, which is a regional brand out of Three Forks, Montana, which is a nice offering. And then we have the main truck stop convenience store, which you referred to, serving the traveling public. And then downtown, I acquired a nice boutique-type hotel called the Broadway Inn, and then it has a nice bar and restaurant called the Still Room. And then some land around those areas that is are for development.
And how do you decide or evaluate what are the new businesses you might take into the family?
To purchase is obviously potential, how to improve them. You know, hotel business is a business where an independent person can compete pretty well, whereas like a truck stop is really tough to compete against the big guys. A hotel, the playing field is a little bit more level, reasonable. I mean, it still takes a ton of resources, but you know, at the end of the day, you want to know that you can pay the loans and survive through. I mean, times like these are good. It's a lot easier, but you know, when the economic times get tough, you got to make sure you can make it through those times.
You took over the Broadway Inn and you didn't brand it a major property. It's not. And your truck stop is independent. What's your thinking about small versus the chains that you have to compete against?
Well, that's a great question, because we certainly have thought and just about did bring in major chains to at the Travel Plaza location instead of Wheat Montana. But part of it's personal, and I don't know if it's the best economic decision, but it's to stay close to home. That feels good. I think giving the customer a different choice was part of it, you know. And we wanted to make sure we could make it. And because the Wheat Montana Bakery and Deli replaced our old Meralt's Cafe, which was the great local diner, which is a dying breed, which is kind of sad. And we have people walk in all the time saying, oh, we wish you had your chicken fried steak and your steak soup and that kind of thing. But so we wanted to stay, you know, local. We wanted to have a local flavor. So I like being able to be independent. I think I got a pretty kind of a independent fire, you know. The Days Inn is a great brand. They are a great company to work with, and they provide a good product. So we like that relationship for sure. And it doesn't say that branding things with a national brand in the future isn't
right.
A potential.
But until then, how do you basically stay a leader in your industry in the face of that kind of chain competition? I mean, you have Love's coming in, you know, right across the way from you as well. So there's even more national chain with their national buying power and their marketing, you know, engine behind them. How do you stay a leader?
Well, that's a great question. Number one, I hope we can just contend, right? And not even necessarily be a leader, but we can be a leader in our own different ways. And that's appealing to the local market. And people want to see the independent guy survive. One of our messages on our digital message board is, you know, buy local. You know, everybody we're competing against is the big guy, right? And it's a very over-serviced interchange. It's got to be one of the most in the country for the traffic that's going through there, that there's a major truck stop or travel plaza on every quadrant. So where those guys, they're fixed in what they can offer because they can't be too creative in their cookie-cutter ways. So I got to figure out what they're not. And quite honestly, it's a question more to what we're going to become than what we are now, because we are somewhat still stuck in our old ways of the old economic model. I'm not going to out truck stop those guys. So what I'm going to be is more not a truck stop, without divulging too much, but our best days are ahead of us for sure. I know that.
Well, one of the innovations out at the Truck Plaza is the beer ice cave, which is kind of a cool addition to what you have there, and your competitors don't have that.
No, and that's appealing probably more to local folks, you know, that you can walk in this big beer ice cave and pick out your product and have a fun experience. It's got a, looks like the inside of an igloo kind of thing in there, so it really expanded our convenience store so we can have more offerings and more updated offerings.
And I also noticed beside the Buy Montana, you have the slogans, fiercely independent and proudly Montana.
Exactly.
So right. That really adds a cachet to you.
Yeah.
That differentiates.
Right.
How many employees do you have?
Total, it's just under 100.
What prepared you to run a business of this size and scope?
Doing poorly in school, that's my only option. Both my brother and sister are smarter than me, so one's a school teacher and one's an investment. So I don't know. I guess I was the oldest son, so it was kind of expected in a way. It's kind of that old hierarchy family kind of stuff. And so I just worked in the business. I went full-time in eighth grade doing full service for cars and trucks, and I guess I caught the bug, and then I got involved. My dad was great about both my mom and my dad. My mom and dad both worked in the business, but my dad especially gave me, you know, I would say a fairly long leash in showing me how to do things, giving me responsibility, allowing me to go. One of the biggest things was just right after I graduated from college, I went out on the road and selling to trucking companies to come fuel with us. And people didn't do that back then. I don't know. He's a salesman. He's deceased now, but he's a salesman and a promoter at heart. He loved promotions. He loved doing that, the kind of thing. So I just got a taste for it, and I have an emotional attachment to its success. You know, we got approached several times to sell, but in a way, I'm selling my dream, my vision of what it could become, and I just have a tight connection with it, and part of it's pride and making sure it works and you're honoring the family and the history.
Was your dad your mentor, really?
In a lot of ways, sure. Yeah, both my mom and my dad. And I've got a lot of mentors. You know what? One of the things I really did in the industry, I got involved really young in the industry. I served on a lot of boards, industry boards, took some leadership positions, our marketing board. I was always the youngest person in the room. And it was amazing to me. Some of the extremely well-heeled gentlemen. There was a couple females too, but I would just sidle next to them. And the most I learned was in the bar having a couple beers after the official meetings and just start asking them questions. And if you genuinely care and they know that you're a genuine person, they shared the world with me. And just understanding what made them tick and understand their failures and understand that you fail and how'd you do this and how'd you do that. I picked up more education that way, I think, and I went to the University of Montana Business School, which is a great school, but I picked up just as much in the field, just having that tenacity to learn. If there's one great trait, one of the great traits I learned from my dad is just asking questions and talking to people, having the ability to talk to people and ask them questions of just interest. And you're not even trying to gouge them for information. It's just you're genuinely interested in them, whether it's them as a person or them, how do they accomplish something in business. That's probably one of the best traits I've learned from him.
Those relationships and being an extrovert are really the resources and tools that you use to keep you ahead of the curve in the competition in your hospitality industry.
I would say creating relationship is a big part of, I don't even like saying I'm successful, because I think the time is the test, you know, at the end of it when I'm buried, so whoever can decide whether I'm successful or not. But relationship is definitely a big way for me, and knowing those resources and knowing who to rely on, knowing who to trust, knowing who not to trust. That's a huge thing. You're talking about all those relationships. I don't know how many texts and emails and phone calls I have in a day, but it's a lot. And a lot of it is just me playing center field and knowing who to throw the ball to that can throw it to the next person to accomplish that goal for me is becoming more and more and more important. Is, you know, I don't actually do things. I facilitate things and make decisions while we're facilitating those things.
Well, if you're going to rely on what they say about you when they bury you, you may want to predetermine who's going to write your obituary.
I've already written it. I've already emailed it out. Nobody will willingly read it.
We're talking with Walt Meralt, owner and operator of Meralt's Travel Plaza and a number of other Missoula, Montana-based businesses. Today's show is brought to you in part by the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. And from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Family businesses in particular, and in particularly in small towns, have many unique challenges. What about succession planning for the company?
Well, that's part of what helped us continue for 45 years is way back in the late 90s. I'd been back for about 8 years or so. My dad and I, we had somebody approach us about succession planning and how are we doing this. And we actually restructured the businesses, created a buyout plan, actually got some life insurance, and to ensure that the business could continue in the future. And him and I, over time, transferred the business, or I bought the businesses from him, basically, from my parents. But if we had not done that planning, who knows where we'd be now?
I think family businesses take on the personality of the owner or the owners. So what's the personality of Meralt's?
Well, it better be have fun, certainly, and adding to the value of people's lives. You know, I think there came a point where I looked at myself and I said, what am I doing? Should I be doing something different? And then it came to me, no, I'm going to strive to make everybody's life better that works with me and as an employee and that we encounter as a people. Part of our mission statement is to enrich people's lives. And I tell employees all the time, hey, if we care about taking care of the customer, provide a good, clean facility, the fundamentals, we're in the service business. We're serving people. Yes, they pay us. But if we have a genuine desire to serve, the bottom line will take care of itself. Of course, we got to make sure our gross profit margins are in line and we're pricing properly and we're competitive and we're clean and all those things. But at the end of the day, if we get a kick out of serving people, things will take care of itself. And we take a serious interest in that. But we have fun along the way. I mean, geez, we spend more time at work than we do anywhere. So let's enjoy ourselves. I joke around a ton in business. I mean, at work, if I'm not dead dog serious, I'm joking around with the employees. I love doing pranks and scaring people and goofing around and we got to have fun. I mean, I'm a pain in the ass a lot too, for sure. I get intense and driven and focused and demanding, but, you've got to be if you're going to survive. Sure. There's a real fear that drives me.
What's the balance between the extrovert and then the serious part of the business?
Right.
So what's the hardest thing you had to do since you've been running the business?
Well, the recession was not easy whatsoever. That was really difficult. I'm surprised I made it through alive, to be quite candid, that I didn't have a stroke or heart attack or something. And that's what, you know, a lot of people don't understand of business owners, you know. For every one that is really successful, there's five dead bodies in the road, not literal, but financially, you know, that didn't make it. So when people decry business owners of being rich and this and that, you know, there's a lot of prices that we pay to get there, and to risk everything is a challenging thing. So the recession was one of the toughest things, quite honestly, is sometimes employees or can be very difficult. But it's also one of the best joys. That's what I say a lot, is team members, employees are the most fun part of the whole thing, to see somebody really blossom and do well, or somebody that was down and out in their luck and you hire them and they really do a great job. That's a lot of fun. And to have customers continually come up to me and say, you know, that Bonnie, she's awesome. She's, of course, every customer always says, you got to give her a raise. So you don't know what I pay her. So how can you say that? So, you know, but people, you know, or Libby, she's awesome. Or it's just a lot of, it's fun to employ people who really make customers' days.
But then, as you mentioned, in a downturn, we have to make tough economic decisions. Right. And personnel is a huge part of your business equation. You probably had to lay people off, and they become family, and then you have to, you know, tell them that they can't work there anymore.
Yeah, and that was the only time that we ever did that is when, and that was really tough. You know, you're gonna sustain the business, and you got to right size, and that was a little tough.
Looking back, is there anything you would have done differently over the past 17 years?
Oh, 1,000 things.
Like what? Give me a couple of things that you would have done differently.
You know, probably been more patient, not expected less, but been calmer in my expectations. It's probably centers mostly around interacting with employees and not taking on too much. I take on too much and try to do too much, and then I'm not in integrity, you know, with folks.
For new business owners, or in particular new family business owners, what advice would you share from all of your experience?
Make sure you got dry powder, meaning make sure you have cash if things aren't going very well. If here's your plan, I'd add another 25% of expense or whatever to make sure that you're well-founded, because there's going to be problems that there's just no way you can predict. I think a lot of people are very optimistic about their planning, and just do that just for your own well-being, because you don't want it to so negatively affect your personal life and over your job work. And when you invest in a business, you kind of don't, you feel like you don't have a choice. You do, but you kind of got to make it work. So you work 18 hours a day and it absolutely consumes your life. And then you're basically selling your personal life, time with your kids, a healthy lifestyle with your spouse. You're selling it to make the business survive if you haven't forecast as much as you can. And at the end of the day, there's no way to forecast at all. You have no idea if competition is coming in. But at the end of the day, how do you learn? Yeah, there's failure is the best teacher. Recession taught me a lot of lessons.
Your expansion over the years, was it self-financed or did you have banking support?
Oh, for sure, banking. Actually, great. It's one of the keys to a good team is a good banker or two. Had more than certainly at least one in 2015 believed in me enough that created a bond that'll be forever, right? That they trusted where I was going when others did not. So that meant the world to me.
We're heading into 2020. What does the future look like for Meralt's family of businesses? What do you got up your sleeve?
I can't divulge that. But we'll be growing. We've got, you know, out at the Travel Plaza, there's, we're only using about a third of the acreage out there at that interchange. And I've been working too much in the businesses rather than on the businesses, and need to be thinking more in the development sake of things, because I enjoy customers so much. I enjoy the day-to-day improvements so much. It's hard for me not to be involved in that, but yeah, I need to be more involved in that. And I'm only going to grow or do things as is comfortable, because I want to enjoy my life a little bit, because during that was 8 years of that recession. I gave a lot of life away at that time, and I'm going to enjoy my life a little bit more.
I want you to tell our listeners about Hump Day Wednesday and what that's all about.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's an ode to the past and an ode to our heritage. Is Hump Day Help Day is on Wednesdays. So every Wednesday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., got to keep it simple, right? We provide full service on our gas islands for those who want it. Pump your gas. You know, you don't have to get out of your car. And that really has been an idea I had had forever. And we don't charge you anything, actually. You get free full service.
So it's just a lot of fun. You get your windows cleaned.
Window wash. You will check your air and your pressure and your tires. We'll check your oil. We'll fill your windshield washer fluid for you. And that's a lot of fun. And, geez, I just want to get out there and do it myself. I but I'm just so dang busy. And we have some great staff that...
Did you have to train the staff to do that? I mean, that hasn't been done in most places for years.
For sure. And part of it is is training the staff on how to approach people on a communication standpoint, because it's people almost look like they're on a hidden camera kind of thing, like, what's going on here? Are you going to charge me more? So you teach them a little shtick on what to say, and then talk to them, you know, and we have little cards that we give them and thanking them for their business, and customers really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun, especially older customers that used to get full service. You know, they go, well, this is pretty neat. You know, my brother and I, when I was single and he was in town, a couple of 4th of July's, because that's the busiest time, the two of us, we would strive to wash every windshield of every car that came through. I'm telling you what, you got to have your track shoes on to do that. And it was just a lot of fun. And we're both goofy that way. We just get a kick out of it, you know, messing around with little kids and joking around with the people and washing their windshields or wishing them well, and then racing off to the next car. We split the gas island up in two, and we had a competition. It was a lot of fun. We even, is it Mark Twain or who's a Tom Sawyer, whoever could come and help me paint my fence? We even engaged a Thad Hughes, who's a lawyer in town. Didn't even pay him. Just came. He came out. Well, he wasn't a lawyer at the time. But we engaged friends in doing this goofiness of just washing windshields.
You've been involved in this business since you were 9 years old. And obviously it has matured and developed and changed over time. What are the things from the genesis, from the very beginning of this business, that you know, harken back to your childhood, and that means something moving forward?
Well, I certainly don't miss pulling all the weeds and stuff like that. We paved over all those weed lots is what they were back then. But, you know, some of the things I really enjoy the most is just the interaction with the customers. And I'm so busy these days doing the whatever you're supposed to do as an owner, all the legal stuff and all that stuff. I used to love just going down at lunchtime in our old cafe, and I do it in Wheat, Montana when I have time, just going down and bussing the tables, cleaning the tables and chatting with guests. Where are you coming from? Where are you headed to? And in a way, too, I'm learning about our customer because I get to know who's coming in. And I ask them, what had you stop here? So I'm getting some intel. But the most fun is just thanking them for coming and interacting with them. And yeah, I really enjoy that. I just get a kick out of people. So that's why I enjoy the customer service business so much.
And that's one of the unintended consequences of having a growing, larger, successful business. You're managing 100 employees. You don't have the time to do the very thing that you enjoyed the most about the business
If I'm the boss man, then I could make it happen. One would say Forrest Gump mows his own lawn. He has a shrimp company, for gosh darn. I'm sure I could get out and arrange it. So it's just... Right. It's just figuring out how to structure it, to do it and make it happen. It's like hump day help. I really do tell my employees, I'm going to get out there this Wednesday. I'm going to be out there. I'm going to show you how it's really done. Right. The truth is, it'd be like, what's that show? The Boss Show, Undercover Boss.
Yeah.
I'm sure after 2 hours, I'd be dragging and they're out there spinning circles around me going, hey, old man, come on, keep up. But I really do. As corny as that is, it really excites me to be able to go out there and do it. And I just need to plan it.
Walter, are there tools or resources that you rely on to help keep you ahead of the curve in the hospitality sector?
For sure. Obviously, keeping up on industry news, being involved in trade associations is big. You know, going to the conventions and seeing what's new out there. If you're not going to those and seeing what's new and getting outside of the box of your own business, if you don't do that, you just don't see things. And of course, in the hospitality business, it's easy to travel and go to the other hotels and go, oh, there's a great idea. We're going to do that. Oh, that's a really good idea. We're going to do that either now or in the future. In the truck stop business, yeah, I'm going to Nashville, Tennessee here in 2 weeks to go with our marketing group to see what's new. And it is talking to the people and say, what are you doing? How are you doing this? That's, again, I've gotten just as much out of the in the bar, having a few drinks after the formal session, the formal workshops and all that, than I have from the workshops. But definitely being in an industry group where you're non-competitive and people don't care about sharing, right? They're open sharing. What's your best practices? That type of thing has been big. And then just continual education.
And what's your perspective on community involvement and community engagement?
I think that's a critical part of being in business. It's part of a giving back. If you're successful, you have a responsibility to give back. Give back to your industry, give back to the community. And that's back when we were doing our succession planning. We created a family, a foundation, Meralt Family Foundation, in which we probably donate you know, most of that in the local community, to the arts, to child support, to scholarships. We give out 4 scholarships every year to kids that are going to go to school in Montana and have some of the same traits that we believe in, but we let the school decide. So, and that's basically treated as an endowment that we continue to do. We also in the past have had huge blood drives, which is very active community involvement. 531 pints of blood in 1 week at Merle's Travel Plaza is, if not the largest privately supported blood drive in the country, it's one of the.
Impressive.
Yes.
Well, on that note, I want to thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, and I look forward to the announcements on Walt's family of businesses in 2020.
Thanks, Arnie. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. Join us next time when our guest will be Chad Caudette, CEO of S&K Technologies, one of the country's largest and most successful Native American-owned and operated companies. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity.